In our gospel, we see that those who received our Lord's free meal in the miraculous multiplication of the loaves and fish were looking for another one. Our Lord called them out on it. "Amen, amen, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs," in other words, because you saw me perform a miracle and it's led you to believe, at least somewhat, "but because you ate your fill of the loaves." They came because of their material hunger and saw Jesus as a means to address those material needs. This, of course, isn't wrong in itself. Our Lord would teach us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." As a loving Father, He wants us to bring our needs to Him. It wasn't this that He was criticizing. Our Lord was criticizing the fact that they had stopped there, that all they were concerned about were their material needs. Just as with all the healing miracles, however, in the multiplication of the loaves and fish, our Lord was doing a sign to help them come to ask Him for something far more than loaves and fish. He tells them and tells us, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." This food, of course, refers primarily to His own flesh and blood in the Holy Eucharist, which He will explain even further as we continue through John 6 in the coming weeks. But in beginning His teaching on the Eucharist, Jesus also includes this rather mysterious but quite beautiful aspect of work. What is the work that Jesus expects from us? He tells us a few verses later what the true work is, indeed the work of God. That work consists simply in believing that Jesus is who He says He is. "This is the work of God," He says, "that they believe in the one He has sent." Before anything else, faith is the work of God. We may not think of our belief as requiring much effort, either you believe or you don't. In a very real way, though, faith is at the same time both very simple and very difficult. In addition, once we come to the act of faith, that moment when God convinces us of the truth of what He tells us, we then must put that faith into action, since, as Scripture tells us, faith without works is dead. We find this inextricable union of faith and work nowhere more present than right here in the Holy Mass. The Church has, since the earliest centuries, referred to the sacred liturgy, and the Mass in particular, as the work of God, the Opus Dei. In the Mass, God Himself is the primary actor. He is both priest and victim. As only God can do, it is in the Mass that the Father is offered a perfect act of worship, the offering of His only Son. And each of us is privileged beyond measure to take part in that. Our Lord asks each of us to unite all our work to His cross in the Mass. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says that our entire life is meant to be kind of liturgical, a Mass, an acceptable act of spiritual worship to God. When we do honest work in union with the Lord, out of love for Him and for others, all of this is included in that personal offering. That's why in the offertory we pray with the priest that "My sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to the Father." In the Mass, the work of God is accomplished, and the fruit of that work is the Most Holy Eucharist, the food that endures for eternal life. In addition to being the work of God, the Eucharist from the earliest times has been referred to as the mystery of faith. Now, as Catholics, we believe many mysteries of faith, and we remind ourselves of them every time we recite the Creed. But the Church has always seen the Eucharist as the mystery of faith par excellence, because if we can believe in our Lord's real and abiding presence under the tiny appearance of bread and wine, we can believe anything He tells us. Indeed, as we'll see throughout these few weeks of listening to John 6, Jesus' teaching on the Holy Eucharist was a great obstacle to many, if not most of them that had followed Him up to that point. In the older form of the Mass, the words "mystery of faith" were even inserted into the formula for consecration. The priest would say, "This is the chalice of my blood of the new and eternal covenant, the mystery of faith, which will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Such was the emphatic desire of the Church that Christians understood just how wonderful a gift they had in our Lord's presence in the Eucharist, In the current form of the Mass, of course, those words, mystery of faith, have been removed from the words of our Lord and placed immediately afterward. But it's important that we note the change in translation that we had several years ago. In the older translation, the priest would say, "Let us proclaim the mystery of faith." That has since, of course, been changed to reflect the actual words of the Latin original, which is simply the mystery of faith. It may seem like a change of little importance, but the importance lies in the fact that the current translation reflects the truth of what those words refer to. The mystery of faith is not the acclamation that we sing immediately after. The mystery of faith is the Most Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord that has just been made sacramentally present in our midst. This Sunday and every day, we should examine ourselves. What food am I working for? Indeed, what is the work that I'm doing? Am I simply contenting myself with earthly food, comfort, worldly living? Do I truly hunger for Christ? St. Jose Maria Escrivá said that our whole week should be both a thanksgiving for the Mass of the previous Sunday and a preparation for the next. Are we truly recognizing Jesus Christ, true God and true man, in the Holy Eucharist? Do we express this faith in the Eucharist? Do we perhaps arrive a little early to prepare ourselves and remain for a little while after to give thanks for this gift beyond compare? None of us, myself included, believes as we should, and none of us, myself included, adequately expresses our faith through work. But that is why we are called to pray every day, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." To provide us some motivation, I turn to St. John Vianney, the patron of parish priests, whose feast would normally be celebrated this Sunday, tomorrow, August 4th. St. John Vianney spoke about the Eucharist more than anything else in his life, since he knew that only there was the food worth working for. And I close with his words, "All good works taken together would not equal the sacrifice of the Mass, because they are the works of men, and the Holy Mass is the work of God. Martyrdom is nothing in comparison. That's the sacrifice of a man's life made to God. The Mass is the sacrifice that God made of his body and blood for man. What honor God gives to his creature. O man, how great you are, nourished and fed by the body and blood of God. If you were to understand it, you would not be able to live. You would die of love. Attending Mass is the greatest action we can ever do." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.